Now let's continue on. And I'm sure someone is going to say, well, Fred Kolder, how could you make a stretch from there in Ezekiel 27 and say that that has end time ramifications? All right. Let's go to Revelation 18. Would you agree that Revelation 18 is in the end time? Well, yes. Let's read it. So there has to be a connection because the wording in many of these things are the same. Okay. Now, in this case, it's called Babylon the Great. Now, they refer to it as this great city, but it's really the great world civilization. Okay, let's go on. Now let's read Revelation 18. Very interesting. This is the judgment of Babylon the Great by God. Verse 1, after these things, I saw an angel descending from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Now remember, in the book of Revelation, it's talking about worldwide events. Let's see that this is. And he cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Now the reason is because the prophecy in Daniel started with the Babylon that was then, and it ends up with the Babylon of the 10 toes of iron and clay. And the 10 toes are 10 regions in the world. Now let's go on here. And it's become a habitation of demons, a prison of every unclean spirit, prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Now notice carefully verse 3. Because all nations... Now remember, Jesus said, the gospel has to be preached to all nations as a witness, right? Same phraseology. It has to be published among all the nations. Same phraseology. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the fury of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her luxury. This is not talking about the Roman Catholic Church. That would have to come under the false prophet. And how many times, now, just as a little sidebar here, since the Bible talks 3 times about the sea of glass, and there are people who deny that when we're resurrected we go to the sea of glass, yet if you ask them, well, how many times is the false prophet mentioned? It's 3 times. Do you believe there's a false prophet coming? Oh, yes. Well, then why don't you believe that the sea of glass is true? You can't say one scripture is allegorical because you don't believe it, and you cannot say another scripture is literal because you don't believe it, or because you do believe it, rather. All right? Oh, one correction. I said the Bible was printed in Japan, was China, which may become part of Japan, may become part of China here pretty quick if it keeps going the way it is. All right, now notice, all nations, kings of the earth, that's all rulers, and the merchants. Do we have transnational corporations that function around the world, produce all the goods and services that we have today? Yes, indeed. And have become rich through the power of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not take part in her sins and that you do not receive her plagues. See, we have to live in the world, but we have to come out of it, not be part of it. And the only way that can happen is repentance, conversion, baptism, Holy Spirit, keeping the commandments of God, keeping the Sabbath and holy days, because we are to live in the world but not be of the world, and that's the only way that that can happen, you see? For her sins have reached as far as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render her to her as she is rendered to you. Give to her double, even according to her works, and the cup that she mixed, give her back double to the degree that she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously. Now, this then is in language meaning the whole world, the whole world system. For this very reason, the plague shall come in one day, death and sorrow and famine, and she will be burned with fire, for the Lord God who executes judgment upon her is powerful. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication with her and have lived luxuriously will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Well, what's going to happen before then? The collapse of the whole economic system. See? They will stand far off for fear of her torment. Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. Now, what's this going to do economically? Okay. Question has been asked, how would you describe, since all nations have committed fornication? That means leaving God to be involved with the world system religiously, economically, and socially in everything, following that way. That can be in business, that can be in religion, that can be in education, all of those things combined, because we could say this fornication here is a repudiation of God, repudiation of God's way, okay? And when we come down here to verse 10 now. And they will stand far off for fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment is come. Well, that refers to the whole world system. What does it say about the earthquakes that take place? And the cities of the earth fell. How are they built? They all have high-rise buildings. They all have basically follow the same layout of cities. I mean, other than the Chinese signs and, how should we say, Oriental specialties in their architecture, Beijing looks like a Western city. Shanghai looks like a Western city. Okay? It's all the Babylonian system. That's what it is. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one will buy their merchandise anymore. Total economic collapse. But it shows, I'm going through this to show how we can tie that in with Ezekiel 27. Something like Ezekiel 27 has to happen worldwide, and the answer is we see it here in Babylon the Great. Now notice what it talks about here. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stone, pearls, fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet and all tine wood, every article of ivory, every article of rare wood, brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and incense and ointment and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men. We have slaves today, a lot of them. They work in Chinese factories. They work in Indian factories. Yes, yes. And for the ripe fruits that your soul desires will depart from you. Actually, in a way, this is describing Walmart. Because Walmart has every one of these things there, right? Yes, indeed. And all the rich things and the bright things will depart from you, and you will not find them anymore. The merchants of these things who were made rich by her will stand far off because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning. Boy, you talk about when the judgment comes, the end is here. All of this merchandising stuff that we have today is going to be all changed suddenly. Some comments. Walmart is called Wally World, and Costco has a lot of Chinese goods in it. I don't know if it's Chinese run, but they certainly supply a lot of things. Okay, think of that. I remember going through It would be equivalent to Raley's up here. It's Knob Hill down our way. And I remember walking out with, you know, big cart load of stuff from Costco. And you watch all the people walk out with these cart loads of things and, you know, and then I was in Knob Hill one day, and I was noticing no big cart folds of stuff going out of Knob Hill anymore. Very rarely, once in a while, but very rarely. And I mentioned to the manager, I said, boy, if some of these chains of supermarkets don't get together and do something to be competitive with Costco, you're going to end up just being a glorified 7-Eleven. And I think that's what a lot of them are right now. If you go buy something in a supermarket and look how much people are taking out compared to the, you know, the big full carts coming out of Costco and Sam's Club and so forth, boy. But everything at our fingertips. And we're so used to getting it. If you want something, you run down to the store. So they were weeping and mourning. You talk about a collapse of all of the markets of the world and saying, whoa, whoa, the great city, which was clothed with fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour, such great wealth has been destroyed. And every shipmaster and all traveling in ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, will stand far off. And they will cry out as they watch the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like this great city? They will throw dust on their heads and cry out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city by which all had ships in the sea were made wealthy through the abundance of her costly things. For in 1 hour, she has been destroyed. So this whole system is going to come down all at once. And I think also we're going to see this when we're on the Sea of Glass. Looking down here, this is part of the vengeance of God, the judgment of this whole world system. Rejoice over her, you heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has executed judgment upon you for your sake. Then one strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, in the same way shall the great city Babylon be thrown down with violence and shall never again be found. And never again shall the sound of harpers and musicians and flute players and trumpeters be heard in you. And never again shall any craftsman of any craft be found in you. And never again shall the sound of a millstone be heard in you. And never again shall the light of a lamp shine in you. And never again shall the voices of the bridegroom and bride be heard in you. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and by your sorcery all nations were deceived. Satan's system worldwide. Now the last verse is very interesting. In her, the blood of the prophets and the saints was found, and the blood of all those who were slain on the earth. So this actually goes clear back to when? Have to go clear back to Abel. All those who were slain on the earth. So this is something. Now we're going to see this. Okay? We're going to see this because Revelation 19 says, and after these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah. That's us. We're going to say hallelujah. It's finally over. The end has come. So that's why I connected Ezekiel 27 with the end time fulfillment too, because of Revelation 18. Okay. Now let's look at another situation. If you have an army of 200 million, let's stop by here to Revelation 9. Let's just ask a question, okay? If you have an army of 200 million, which actually consists of many smaller armies within it, but here we have, okay, verse 16, Revelation 9. And the number of the armies of the horsemen, see, it's armies, plural, was 200,000, that's 200 million, and I heard the number of them. Now, you know, they're going to have to be strung out all the way back to China, clear into the Chinese country too. So maybe this helps us answer some of the questions concerning Ezekiel 38 and 39. So let's go to Ezekiel 38. Now we come past the judgment, the return of the saints, the setting up of the kingdom of God, Ezekiel 38. Now hold your place here in Ezekiel 38, because we'll come there, but let's go to Isaiah, the second chapter, because this tells us something very interesting. Isaiah, the second chapter, and the setting up of the kingdom of God on earth. Okay. Verse 2, Isaiah 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. See, so we have all nations again, right? Many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now notice verse 4. Because what happens, verses 2 and 3 tells us what? Christ is already on the earth. It tells us also that he has built the house of the Lord. Okay? To the house of the God of Jacob. All right? It shows the nations will be going up. But notice verse 4. This is after the kingdom of God is on the earth. So right at first, it's not going to be all love and kisses. It's going to take a period of time because verse 4 says, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. So there's still warring people left on the earth, right? Have to be. Okay. So the kingdom of God is not instantly set up over the whole earth, but God is going to take care of some of those still left from the ways and the kings of the east. Because an armies of 200 million, you can't get them all in one place at one time. Now we know that the seven last plagues, a call goes out for armies of all nations to come. Well, not all the armies of all the nations come. They send a contingency. And that's the ones we're going to fight when we come down with Christ off the sea of glass. Okay. Then God sets up Jerusalem and Israel, begins the exodus of the children of Israel back to their land. We begin ruling with Christ, but still, he's going to have to judge those nations, okay? Going to judge them. All right, now let's come to Ezekiel 38. Perhaps this will help us understand, because the kingdom of God comes first to the children of Israel. Then the rest of the nations go up to Jerusalem and learn and go back and teach their people, okay? And then those who are designated by Christ to go back and help administer that by direct connection with Christ, they go back at that time. All right, so let's read Ezekiel 38, because there are some very interesting things that it says, which has to involve those armies of the north and the east who have not yet given up. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Gog, chief ruler of Meshach and Tubal, prophesy against them. Now that's all those nations that are north and that are east. And say, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the chief ruler of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you back and put hooks in your jaws, and I will bring you out and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with most gorgeously, a great assembly with buckler and shield with all the swordsmen. Now notice where they're coming from. Persia to the east. Ethiopia, and this means actually India. This is foot, not Ethiopia in Africa. Libya. Now, there's also another Lydia or Lut, which this could refer to the east with them. And all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma, from the uttermost parts of the north, and all his bands and many people with him. Be prepared. Yea, prepare for yourself, you and all your assembly that are assembled about you, and be on guard for them. After many days, you will be summoned. So God will bring them. So here we have another battle to take place after Israel has come back. This is part of causing those nations to submit. Now, verse 8, after many days you will be summoned. In the latter years you shall come into the land, restored from war, gathered out of many people on the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but she has been brought out of the nations, and she will dwell securely, all of them. Now that's talking about Israel. And you shall go up, coming like a storm. You shall be like a cloud to cover the land, you and all your bands, and many people with you. Thus says the Lord, and it shall be in that day that things shall come into your heart, and you shall devise an evil plan. Now notice verse 11, because this becomes really quite important when it's referring to Israel. And you shall say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, no defenses around Israel. And I will go to those who are at rest, who dwell securely, all of them dwelling without walls, and there are no bars nor gates to them. So they spied out the land. They saw this is easy grabbings. We still have these large armies back here, so let's use them. Let's go finish the job that we weren't able to do, you know, if we could say, when the invaders from outer space came. We've got to go get those invaders from outer space and get rid of them. Okay? In order to take a spoil, to steal a prize, and turn your hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, who have gotten cattle and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Now notice a repeat of the same thing. Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish and her village shall say, have you come to take a spoil? Have you gathered your company to steal a prize, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, in the day when my people of Israel dwell securely, shall you not know it? This has to be after the return of Christ and the saints. And you shall come from your place out of the uttermost parts of the north, you and many people with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company, a mighty army. And you shall come upon my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me, when I shall be sanctified in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Oh, the reason that he's going to do this is so that the other nations will understand. God rules from Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God. My hot anger will be aroused, for in my fury and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great quaking in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea and the birds of heaven and the beast of the field and all creeping things that creep on the earth and all men on the face of the earth shall quake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground, and I will call for a sword against him upon my mountains. Going to let them come right close to Israel. All of this is going to happen. I will judge him with pestilence and with blood. I will rain upon him and upon his bands, upon the many people with him, an overflowing shower and great hailstones and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will have myself known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Not recorded. Question is, will this come after the seven last plagues? Yes, because the seven last plagues are right there at the armies of the beast, right in the area of Jerusalem at that time. But it says here that Israel is already in the land and at peace, undefended. So this would have to happen shortly after the millennium begins, because those armies were strung out, you know, 200 million. Those armies, that's vast. So they're not going to be gotten rid of all instantly. So what we can see in this, we can see these things. There are a lot of different prophecies that we have yet to understand. And there are prophecies in the Old Testament that look like they have been fulfilled but haven't. There are those who had prophecies which had a first fulfillment, and now they're going to have a second fulfillment. But one thing for sure we can know and understand is that when we read these things, we're talking about vast events covering a great part of the earth. And I think that as we look and see what's happening in China, what is happening in Pakistan, what is happening in Afghanistan, Iran, all the nations to the east and to the north, how they are being raised up and prospered so they can develop into the things that the prophecies show that they will develop into. So we'll have some more reports on the things taking place over there as we go along. So we'll go ahead and call it a quits for today, and see you next Sabbath. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.